True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are heading to Huntington Bank Stadium, make sure you bundle up and pack your patience, because this game has folks lined up on the highway trying to get there. On the way into the Good Neighbor Station, I'm coming to the west from the east on 94. And I'm like, oh, my God, folks are still stacked up. They are going to miss the start of the game. This ain't good. So make sure, you know, keep it locked here. We'll keep you updated on what's going on. Josh, can we put it on one of these TVs in here? Make sure we're watching the game.
Absolutely.
I've got some folks that are going to be sitting in that traffic. I'm sorry, y'all. I saw y'all. I waved at you. I blew at you. And you're going to be a while. And if you're going in that particular area and you're not going to the game, you might either want to wait until the game gets started good, or you might want to just put it off for a day or two, because the traffic is thick in that area. So just FYI, I wanted to make sure you knew. I saw you trying to get over there, and I'm sorry, but we're going to make sure you have all the latest on the game right here on the Good Neighbor Station. And speaking of the latest, I had to call Brian McDaniel in the middle of the night because, okay, so it's Thanksgiving, right? And I got the kids and we got a Kohl's and we're trying to get healthy and better. And I haven't been like up on everything that I need to be up on right now because, you know, just life, holidays, kids, home from school. But then I look up and I see Dean Phillips is not running for reelection. What does this mean for our political landscape here in the Twin Cities? This is a seat that is going to be up for grabs. And so I said, Brian McDaniel, get your butt up. Get on radio with me. I know you were supposed to be off. It is a holiday weekend, and he is joining us from the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Brian, good afternoon. What in the hey is going on?
Well, my butt is up and at your service, Ms. Shaletta. Whenever you call, I jump.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. But speaking of jumping, Dean Phillips is jumping out of Congress. You know, he's really serious about this this run for president.
Yeah, and you and I, we've spoken about Dean Phillips both on the air and privately, and you know how this has all unraveled is very surprising, especially, you know Dean Phillips. I know Dean Phillips. We know that he's not crazy, that he's not delusional, but what he is doing in challenging a sitting Democrat president is, you know, very curious in a political strategy, aspect. Because, you know, if we wanted to look at this altruistically, we would say, well, Dean Phillips has some honest and probably, from my standpoint, true feelings that President Biden, who is 81 years old, is, you know, showing, you know, major signs of cognitive decline. I think that it is pretty hard to argue that there isn't some of that. However, kind of bringing that to the American public's attention is something that Democrats do not want him to do. They want to set Joe Biden up as, well, whether he's good, bad, or in the middle, whether he's a genius or not with it, he is our best chance to defeat Donald Trump in the next election, and that's all that matters. And to Dean's credit, he's saying, that's not all that matters. We need a president who is up to the task, but also Joe Biden may not be the best person to defeat Donald Trump. Joe Biden's poll numbers are very much not good. Now, with that being said, we need to give Dean Phillips a lot of credit for, you know, taking a principled stance, knowing, you know, he correctly knew that his fellow Democrats were going to be mad as hell at him, and they are. So his decision not to run for his congressional seat again did not come as a surprise to kind of those of us in the political arena, because we fully expected, whether he stopped his presidential campaign tomorrow, in a week, a month, a year, whatever it might be, that the Democrats were going to say, it ain't going to be you, Dean, and that they were going to find somebody on the left to run against him and try to get the DFL nomination. Now, names have already sprung up. There is Ron Harris. Mm-hmm. There is State Senator Kelly Morrison. Secretary of State Steve Simon is rumored to be potentially throwing his name into the arena. So there are legitimate challengers that probably were going to be able to defeat Dean for the nomination. So by saying he's not going to run again, he saves himself a little bit of embarrassment of being taken out by his own people.
But wasn't he pretty comfortable in the last election with the voters? I know that we had some redistricting. Mm-hmm. He was out there. You know, he had a pretty favorable, percentage rate with the folks who voted him in last time in his district.
Without question. Let's remember that before Dean Phillips took over, that seat was, a moderate Republican seat, but a Republican seat. Yeah, it was held by Eric Paulson, and before him, Jim Ramstad. Mm-hmm. I worked for both men. Yes, everybody, Brian's a Republican, so I worked for both men. But so that area was considered to be not rabidly socially conservative, but very fiscally conservative. That has changed. So Dean Phillips won by a pretty comfortable margin, but that's not to say that another Democrat wouldn't win that also. And let's remember that the people don't always, they should, and I can go on for hours about what they could be doing differently, but the people don't necessarily pick who is going to be on the ballot. That is done by people who are going to their local conventions, participating in local politics. And those people on the right and the left tend to be far right or far left. So many of them probably looked at Dean anyway as far too moderate. And he may have had a challenger, but one that I think he would have defeated. But after he decided to run against Joe Biden, I think that almost immediately I could say that his goose was cooked. Ooh. With the Democrats.
Now, I didn't realize how tough this political thing was, and how it is serious business, because I was reading some articles and getting ready for our interview today. And one of the spokespersons for the president said that Congressman Phillips has voted nearly 100% of President Biden's policies. And pretty much threw a little shade at him and said the president will miss his support in their legislative agenda. You know, and I was like, oh, my God. So they're saying, you know, even if you vote for this guy, he's really just a shadow of what we're already doing. That's the way I read this statement.
Well, I think what they're trying to say is that, you know, Dean Phillips shouldn't criticize the president if he's going to vote with the president. Now, let's also remember, the president doesn't pass bills. This is, you know, I teach American government at Concordia University in St. Paul, and one of the things I remind everybody is that only the legislature, only Congress passes bills. The president ultimately signs them or vetoes them. So I would say it's almost more President Biden following the Democrats in Congress, in the House and the Senate, than the other way around, though the president has some agenda setting. He has some agenda setting aspects to his job. But what they're trying to tell, they're trying to discredit Dean by saying Dean doesn't have a real problem with the president. He just wants this for himself. And I don't really think that that's the case. This does seem a little bit like a Hail Mary lost cause for Dean, but you know, I think that he's trying to wake up the Democratic Party, and say, hey, everybody, running an 81-year-old guy who has YouTube clips, you know, as far as the eye can see, with him acting goofy and smelling little kids' hair and, you know, and saying the wrong stuff, that is not the person to put up against Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, we all know that he certainly elicits very strong opinions from people as well. But one thing that people don't say is that he doesn't know how to talk. Right. And you put him in front of a microphone with Joe Biden, and I think that Donald Trump is going to run circles around Biden. And I think so if your main goal, like when Trump ran in 2016, a lot of people didn't support him, but they said, we need conservative Supreme Court justices, so I'm going to hold my nose and I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. Same thing, if people are saying, I don't support Biden, but I'm going to hold my nose and vote for him so that way Donald Trump doesn't win. That, I mean, why not put somebody in, you know, the Democrat, you know, presidential slot that you actually believed in?
Yeah.
Because that person probably would have a better shot of beating Trump than, an 81-year-old Joe Biden. But I think that that they don't want to be embarrassed. And they're kind of pot committed on Joe Biden being their nominee.
All right. Stick around. Hold on. Don't go anywhere, because Dean Phillips had to own something this week. He had to say, I did that. That's on me. And you know, we don't see that often when somebody says, you know what, I messed up. You get a lot of gaslighting, you get a lot of finger pointing, but he had to admit that he did something that, you know, he owned it. And we're going to talk about that. What is it? We'll tell you after the break. My phone was blowing up this week. Your boy's tripping. Your boy's cutting up. Did you see what your boy said about Kamala Harris? What's going on with your boy? Have you talked to him? I was like, look, y'all, I got 4 kids home from school. I got a call. My kids got a call. I'm just getting out of the emergency room. I don't know what the hell is going on with Dean Phillips. And then I get online, and all I had to do was Google his name. He came under fire for some comments he made about the vice president. Brian McDaniel from Hilden Advocacy and Law. Were you surprised to read what he said? Or hear about what he said? What was your response initially?
Well, I mean, I guess I was only surprised because it once again is not strategically smart for him to be. I mean, what he's doing is he's alienating the people who he needs to gather support from. But also, on the other hand, he also needs to get those same people to have, you know, lessened, diminished confidence in Biden and Harris. Because if he convinces everybody that Joe Biden shouldn't be president, they might say, oh, okay, yeah, Dean, we agree with you. Kamala, you're next up. Well, that doesn't help Dean either, because that's not Dean. So he's in a bad position, which is another reason why this is such a strange endeavor for him to undertake. Now, as far as the substance of what he said, I mean, Kamala Harris, you know, is important for a lot of different reasons. But let's remember that when she was running for president herself, she was not a darling of the progressives. When she was attorney general in California, you know, she was very much part of the crowd of trying to see how many black men can we put in jail for drug offenses. She was very proud of that. So when she ran for president, she was identified as a cop. And that's why she didn't do very well, you know, in her own run. So Kamala Harris herself has never really, really, really been embraced by Democrats as someone who is, you know, part of their overall agenda. But with that being said, you know, she is vice president of the United States. The vice president is put in a bad position because they're not really given a lot to do. And so Dean taking his time to go after her makes it look like Dean's not interested in strengthening the Democratic Party. He's interested in leading it. And I think that is looked upon as not as altruistic as trying to say, hey, everybody, we have a problem with the president. This says, I don't want it to be Biden. I don't want it to be Harris. I want it to be me.
But don't we need new leadership? This is the thing that people keep saying. We need new leadership. We need new leadership at the Democratic Party. Everybody we got is old. The young people that we're trying to get out the vote, the ones that we're trying to connect with, the ones that we're trying to talk to, you know, they don't want to hear anything we've got to say because we're older than their grandparents and they don't identify with us. We don't identify with them. We don't speak the language. You know, I'm trying to figure it out. Do we want new leadership or not?
Well, I mean, the answer is yes with an if, or no with a but, because I think Dean Phillips wants new leadership if he can be the leadership. And that's not something that I would have thought was part of his end game, because I've known him to be a very principled person, you know, someone whose politics I don't agree with almost all of the time, but that, you know, he put himself as part of the Problem Solvers Caucus. He seemed like he was interested in the business of government, not just politics. But it's almost like it's kind of coming off now as I'm a rich guy who is going to run for president because I can. And I'm having a hard time figuring out his strategy there, as are a lot of his supporters and former supporters. I mean, I don't think, Shaletta, that most political people on the left want Kamala Harris to be running for president. Mm-hmm. They don't think that she would do very well against Trump. So you know, she's not held in the highest of regard, but still they don't want one of their own attacking her, because all this is going to do is mean that Biden and Harris are going to be running, but now they have the seed planted that they're not very good at their job.
Mm. Well, this is a lot to, I mean, you know, I don't think, do you think that the president and vice president were ready for this? Because this is a lot. I don't think that they were ready for this soon.
Well, when I was in college, you know, a long time ago, the president was George H.W. Bush. And he did have a challenger in Pat Buchanan who challenged him from the right. Now, George H.W. Bush defeated him, and, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal, except Bush lost. You know, he ended up losing to Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
So was that because, you know, a wing of the Republican Party was turned off on him by his challenger from the same party? So, I mean, I think that there is no way to look at this and say that this helps Biden and Harris. It doesn't. And I don't think that they were expecting it, because it is very, very rare to have, because, you know, Pat Buchanan was a TV guy.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't somebody, you know, who was, you know, a sitting senator or a sitting, you know, U.S. representative. This is an elected member of the Democrat Party who is challenging the head of the Democrat Party, not behind closed doors, but, you know, out in the open. And it's a distraction for them. And while it may be principled, it's not really coming off that way.
Well, you know what? Can I just say, I appreciate the disruption. As a lifelong child of the party and watching how the party moves in our community, and the promises that were made that, you know, never come to pass, or, you know, how they come to our churches at election time and kiss our babies and take pictures and then leave and we don't see them again for 4 years. I just believe that it's time to shake it up. And I remember when, you know, this same thing happened with Obama. They were like, it's not time. And, you know, who is he? And he's a junior senator and it's Hillary's turn. And, you know, and I just remember, you know, the groundswell of support from young people. And I was one of those young people. And it was young Democrats versus old Democrats. And I don't know if you remember this, but it was sincere. It was like me versus my mama and grandmama. It was Sean versus his daddy. You know, like this, you young people, y'all sit down somewhere. This is not your time. You haven't even paid no dues. He didn't come up through the Jesse Jacksons and the whole machine in Chicago. He just bystepped all the churches and we were just so excited to have youth, to have somebody who looked like us, our age, who thought like us, who were on the same social media channels as us. You know what I mean? And that's where the support came from. And that's where the shift happened. And I just really believe that it's time for another shift. I can't see me going to the polls and picking from two elderly white men, and that's all I got. That's the only options that I have. I just have to believe that we say we want new. We say we want different. We say we want fresh. But then when new and different and fresh comes, we're like, nah, not this new, not this fresh. Let's just keep moving with the old white guys we got. I just, it's frustrating for me as an outsider. It's frustrating for me as a voter to have my options so limited because the machine is so big.
No, the machine is huge, and unfortunately, you know, this happens on the Republican side too. In 2016, Republicans didn't need to pick Trump. They could have picked Marco Rubio, who was a young, you know, handsome Latino man from Florida. They didn't want him. This time around, they could have Nikki Haley. We're not obligated to have Donald Trump again. We could have Nikki Haley, who, you know, a strong, accomplished, you know, conservative woman of color. They don't want to do that. The machines are out of control. Unfortunately, the only people that can do something about that are the people. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, you know, power is given from the Creator to the people. And then we give our power to our government. And if our government is not doing what we want, it's in the Declaration of Independence that we have a duty to alter it or abolish it. And I'm not calling for revolution, but I'm saying we need to alter our politics and make our politics serve not just the politicians and the parties, but the people. And that has not happened for quite some time.
Well, it is interesting. It is getting heated. Apparently, we cannot take a day off because you never know what's going to happen with this political landscape. Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law joining us today, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. It's always fun chatting with you.
Well, I'm always available to you. And if anybody is in Isanti, Minnesota tonight, I'm going to be doing stand-up comedy at 6 o'clock at Isanti Distillery and Spirits. I'm not kidding. I'll be doing stand-up. See you there at 6 o'clock, everybody.
Okay, wait. You got to give us a website so we can go and get more information because, you know, we are off. We ain't got nothing to do. The kids are out of school. We need to laugh. You're going to be doing comedy tonight. Give me a link so we can go get tickets and stuff.
Well, what I would say is just Google Isanti Distillery and Spirits. And all the information will be right there. 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock tonight. Break a leg and keep us laughing. Brian McDaniel, a man of many hats. That's what a Renaissance man does. He does politics, pop culture, presidential elections, and comedy. We'll be right back. I saw y'all lined up at the Mall of America. 1,200 deep. Looking for deep discounts. Making sure you got everything on that Christmas list that those kids do not deserve. I love my kids, but I just don't love them enough to stand out in the cold for them. I mean, unless Jesus is there with a couple of disciples, I'm just not doing it. I'm sorry. I can't. You know, I understand my mama did it. They had the little lawn chairs and they would go out there and get those discounts. And we did not ever appreciate those toys. We didn't. We really didn't. We did not appreciate the sacrifices that they made to get that toy at that discounted rate. We did not. We did not. We were some very ungrateful children. And I don't know about y'all. I don't love my kids that much. I don't love them enough to stand out in single digit temperatures. When I saw, I was watching Channel 5 because Brandi Powell was hosting, and I saw the new weather guy, the one who looks like Al Roker. He's a cute little fella. And he was talking about the single digit temperature. And then they showed the live shot and they had the line outside of the Mall of America snaking. I said, yeah, I'm not. No, thank you. I'll sit here. I'll click. I'll go on Amazon. It's all good. Don't worry about it. But I want that energy, the same energy that we all had, that y'all had for Black Friday, the dad's Thanksgiving, I want y'all to keep that up today, right? Because today is probably for a lot of us, for our economy, for Minnesota, for our families, today is more important than Black Friday because it's Small Business Saturday. It's a great way to celebrate and support small businesses right here in our community. And people are saying, well, Shaletta, how do I find a small business? I don't really, you know, where do I go? I mean, if I go to the Mall of America, there's the retail chains. I don't want to work that hard, but I do, you know, want to support small businesses in our community. There's a couple of things that you can do today. And I want to tell you about them. And then I also want to introduce you to a small business owner that you can go to and you buy stuff. You can get stuff for your teachers and Christmas stuff. But I just want to make sure you guys know. So Saturday, Step It Up for the holidays is going on in Brooklyn Park until 3 o'clock. They've got 20 independent retailers, with temporary space, at this Brooklyn Park Small Business Center. Right. And they are there with these vendors and you can come and you can shop and they're going to be there until the holidays are over. So you can go there any Saturday you'd like. But today is Small Business Saturday. So I encourage you to go there. It's at 7970 Brooklyn Boulevard. It is free and open to the public. Again, dozens of vendors there until 3 o'clock. Small business kind of pop up. Right. But there's some brick and mortar stores right here in our community. And one of my favorite places to go, it's where I buy all my earrings. It's where I get my teacher gifts from. When I have to buy things for my teachers in case my kids cut up, I'm currying favor. I'm not ashamed or embarrassed to say that, is Roslyn's Place. Roslyn is a small business owner that I met last year at Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol. She and her husband are amazing people. And she started making candles. And opened up a shop, and it's just morphed into a place where other small business owners can come and they can sell their products there. My earrings by Sammy that I love, I buy them at Roslyn's Place. My books are being sold at Roslyn's Place. Shayla Reeves, her new book is being sold at Rosalind's Place. And she's got a new location in St. Paul. And I want to make sure all my St. Paul folks know about this. I know it's hard for y'all to cross the river if you're in Minneapolis because you don't have your passport on you. But if you are in St. Paul and you're out today because it's a beautiful day and you're shopping for Small Business Saturday, I want to make sure you get by Rosalind's Place. So I got Roslyn on the phone with me. She's on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Roslyn, thank you so much for being on the show. I know this is a busy Saturday for you, so I thank you for taking some time with me.
Thank you, Ms. Shaletta.
Now, you've got a location in St. Paul. Tell me where you are, tell me what the hours are, and then we're going to get to all the cool stuff that you have there available.
Yeah, the location in St. Paul is not open yet, but it will be open very soon. I'm waiting on the city to get through final inspection walkthrough. The address there will be 1652 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, and it will be next door to Patagonia and French Meadow on the college campus of McAllister.
I love it. Okay, so I had all my information wrong, so that is going to be open later. Where are you now? Because I want to make sure that folks are listening, get to you so they can celebrate Small Business Saturday at your shop.
Yeah, I'm at on the corner of Central and Lowry Avenue Northeast. The address here is 2430 Central Avenue Northeast. Small Business Saturday is harder this year than other years for a lot of people, and the holiday season has been tough this year. A lot of my colleagues and I in the business are seeing slower revenue in like quarter four than we have in the last couple years. So we need the business. So 2430 Central Avenue Northeast on the corner of Central and Lowry.
Okay, now, Ms. Roslyn, tell us what you have there at your shop, because everybody knows about your amazing candles. For those of you who don't, I want you to tell them about the candles, but there's so much more in the shop.
Yeah, so there are plenty of things. We've got art from local artists, so prints, And we have earrings, a lot of earrings from everything is handmade from as many local makers as possible. We've got glassware for cocktails and drink water and for wine, and all of our glassware is made from 100% recycled glass. And so our store is super sustainable, and we really curate everything and pick. I take my time to choose what makers get to go come in our store. And so everything we've got in here is perfect for the holidays. We've got gifts for everybody. I'm looking at mugs, books, art for my dad. My dad is an artist. He's a wood turner. I've got a couple of pieces here from him. I just got new mugs from a new maker, functional heirlooms. Just giving them a shout out. They just dropped up mugs for me. And I've got Luff Joy's Bloody Mary stuff on here as well. I've got a Doing Well cocktail infusion kit. I don't sell alcohol, but I do have an infusion kit. It's endless. I could go on. There's bath stuff. There is plant propagation stuff for your walls. There's incense. There's hats, mittens, ready to go, tie for two in a cute container that's sustainable. And so, but yeah, it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And folks can come in and they can buy, they can shop, they can browse. Now, I'm going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Rosalyn, I want to talk to you about something you said about how small business owners are seeing less foot traffic, seeing less customers. And that is having an impact on your bottom line. And we want to use this opportunity on Small Business Saturday to autocorrect and get that right. And I'm going to tell you how you can do that next. I tell you what, Rosalyn is one of the hardest working women, small business owner, brand new mom, wife, community advocate. She is counting on us on Small Business Saturday to get over to her shop, Rosalyn's Place, on Central and Lowry in Northeast Minneapolis, to support small businesses. This is the day. This is Small Business Saturday. Y'all were lined up outside in the cold to support the Mall of America. Mall of America's good. Our small business owners need your help. And we've been talking to Rosalyn. She has been kind enough to join us for a little bit longer. Rosalyn, because you said something in the last break that I wanted to make sure that we touched on, because people say, well, how can I make a difference? How can I help? And you said something that I can't let go of. You said that, you know, you've been talking to a lot of small business owners and you all are seeing less foot traffic, less sales, less customers in this fourth quarter of the year. And you need us to get out and support you for Small Business Saturday.
Yeah. So, yeah, the struggle is real right now for a lot of small businesses. Hi, welcome. Excuse me, customers. I'm on the phone with WCCO Radio, but I keep shopping. And, yeah, let me know. Yeah. So, Shaletta, I'm at the store right now, so pardon any interruption.
Oh, no worries. So, we get it.
Yeah. So basically, it's just harder this year. I think that people are finally able to, there's finally things that are opening up after COVID. And where every entrepreneur I'm talking to that's a retailer or a maker is like myself, is being very creative about how they're making money. So a lot of people are doing pop-ups right now. You mentioned the Brooklyn Park pop-up. There's mm-hmm. one, the Dayton pop-up. So a lot of my counterparts and colleagues are actually like diversifying their income streams and their revenue right now. And I'm in the store because I chose to be here on the corner of Central and Lowry. And I want to be a neighborhood store that people can come to, and people have come today. So I'm really grateful for all the people who've come today to shop Small Business Saturday. Thank you to all those people who are listening. We need you and we appreciate you, your business. I literally cannot live and eat without the foot traffic. So it's a plea from a business owner with the storefront and brick and mortar. It's always the hardest part because I still have to pay rent regardless of how much money I make or don't make. And I still have to pay my employees because I should. It's not their fault that there's a slow season. And I pay them really well. And so I'm starting at like $20 an hour for temporary holiday help because everybody deserves a living wage. and not just a minimum wage. And I don't need to go into that with you, obviously. But yeah, so it's a lot. As you can hear from my voice, probably I'm a little bit stressed out this year because of my bottom line is being completely challenged by the current rise in prices and the economy being kind of shaky right now.
Yeah. But you know what? I just believe, Roslyn, and I just have faith that the people who are listening as good neighbors will get in their cars today and come out and support you. Over at your shop on Central and Lowry, it's Roslyn's Place. You know, we all have to bless our teachers. We all have to make sure that our, you know, principal and the secretary at the school has something to say thank you from our children. And so this is a great opportunity, whether it's your candles or the books that you have that you can buy for the teachers to put in their nook, the earrings that you can buy for, you know, your coworkers or friends, or if you're a Secret Santa, so that, you know, you can not only, you know, give somebody some holiday cheer, but also support small businesses on this Small Business Saturday. Thank you, Roslyn, for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Marcelletta. I really appreciate you reaching out and welcoming me into your show. I really appreciate it.
All right. And you guys, don't forget, Roslyn is over at Roslyn's Place on Central and Lowry in Northeast Minneapolis. She's going to be open today for Small Business Saturday, along with so many other small business owners. And make it your business to get over there. You know, when I get off the radio, I'm going to go over there and just go ahead and do the early shopping that I need to do for the teachers. I've got, each one of my kids has a teacher, but then my kids with autism have special education teachers, and those people, God bless them. God bless our special education teachers and paras, because they deserve so much more than a candle. I wish I could just give them the whole shop, but I'm going to make sure and make it my business to get over there and buy up about 6 or 7 candles to make sure that, you know, my children's teachers know that I appreciate them. You know, for those who enjoy earrings, they'll get a pair of earrings. You know, again, Roslyn has children's books there. And I know that a lot of our teachers buy their own books and put it in the classroom. So I'll, you know, buy a couple of books for those teachers that have nooks in their rooms. And then that high school boy is over there. He got 7 or 8 teachers too. And so I'm telling you, I'm just going to bring a little laundry basket, an empty laundry basket. I threw the dirty clothes on the floor before I left home, and I got the laundry basket so that I can just put whatever I need in my little laundry basket. And then when the time comes, I'm ready. And today is really the day. And you heard the anxiety in Roslyn's voice. And that's what a lot of other small business owners are feeling. And I appreciate her being transparent with us. I appreciate her saying, you know what? I pay people a living wage, $20 an hour. And I employ folks and make sure that they have what they need so that they can live. But I'm afraid because I got rent to pay. I have a bottom line. And just the fact that she shared that with us while she was working and helping her customers touched me in a way that I was not expecting. And so I'm definitely going to get over there. And I hope that for Small Business Saturday, that we take that same zeal, that same zest, that same excitement that we have for Black Friday to get over here and support our small businesses. So, you know, whether you go to Red Balloon Books, Roslyn's Place, you can get on over here and shop with Devonna Pittman and her Nature Syrup line. Whether you go over here and buy some books from Crown Shepherd, you know, there's so many opportunities for you here in the Twin Cities to shop local at a small business. So whether it is clothing or books or toys or candles, there is something that you can purchase, something that you can buy, something, you know, that you can get, whether it is for your household or someone else, and you can make a difference. Whether your purchase is $10 or $100, it's just, for a small business owner, it's just seeing and knowing that someone cares, right? So if you do get a chance to go by Roslyn's Place, let her know that I sent you. Tell her you heard it on CCO Radio. Encourage her. You heard her voice just like I did. Our small business owners need to know that we are there with them and for them to help them get through this season. All right. Now, we ain't through. We got 2 more hours of the Shaletta Show. So y'all come on back.